What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, serving as your host today. Today, we've got another great episode, episode number 2 on our football preview series as we inch closer to the start of the 2026 football season. Today, we'll be covering the FIU Panthers coming off a very successful season in year one under Willie Simmons in 2025. Big things down in South Beach for 2026. We'll start off the show with a great interview with Kevin Barral joining the podcast once again before we get to our interview with Coach Willie Simmons and the guys from Media Day a couple weeks ago that Sarah conducted. But Kevin, thanks so much for coming back on the pod. I think this is year three or four of you doing this.
Yeah, year four. It flies by, but I appreciate you guys having me out again.
Yep. Yeah. So year four of you being on the Pause Up podcast, also staying busy doing some Fish On First, covering the Marlins down there as well, finishing up undergrad, soon to be graduate in December. Very exciting times, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. It flies by. And I was thinking about it today. I was like, I think I've been on this podcast throughout my whole college career. So it is crazy to think about. But yeah, I'm excited for graduation and then grad school.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, let's get into the Panthers going into 2026. Looking back at 2025, what was it, just kind of, you know, grand overview a little bit, what was it that made that year so successful, made the Panthers able to get back to the postseason for the first time since 2019?
I think you look at that last month in November, they go 4-0, they go on this win streak. You look at the quarterback change going from Kiwan Jenkins to Joe Pazanski. It really flipped the switch for this team. And offensively, they just look completely different. You relied a little more on the pass. Keyshawn Owen continued to do his thing on the ground. And I really think you look back at that Missouri State game where FIU really fell. And they probably looked back at the game thinking they should have won. And I think that's what really brought this team together and said, we really need to flip the switch because 3-5, you got to make a bowl game somehow. And they ended up winning 4 in a row, putting up a lot of points too. You look at that Middle Tennessee game, the Sam Houston game, beating two really good teams in Liberty and Jacksonville State, and they made the postseason, made a bowl game. And I think now, you know, that is the expectation for the program, for Willie Simmons now going into year two with, you know, already having set the culture and everything is set in place to where now, you know, there's not a lot of unknowns. It's a lot of knowns. It's pretty similar team from last season, at least on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, despite the changes, I still think that, you know, they'll adjust quickly and it'll be a quicker adjustment than what we saw last season.
Yeah, you threw out the word culture there. I know that was a big topic for him at Media Day on the ESPN Plus show, just talking about how he was able to instill that in year one and how much he's building on in year two. So, yeah, we know the record improved, but what else did you learn about Willie Simmons in year one there down at FIU?
He's a big family guy. He's huge on family. I think we talk about culture, and that's I think the best way to put it. He's big on culture. He believes if this is the closest team in the country, and they're, you know, a family like atmosphere, and they establish a culture, the wins will come. And I think that's the biggest thing about him. And you know, he's a interesting guy. In games, it's a very different Willie Simmons than what you see in a press conference or a practice. It's a very different type of Willie, but I think that's what you need and that's what the players need. And he's definitely, you know, he does have his players coach style in him too, where we've seen they've done water balloon fights, have gone out to the Everglades, a lot of team bonding experiences that frankly just didn't happen beforehand. So I think, you know, This is a guy who believes in the family atmosphere and culture, and you see a lot of the coaches' kids around, and that's something that they really value. And I think if you establish that, which I believe he did in year one, you know, year two and moving forward should really be a piece of cake in terms of the wins.
So another part of why we're featuring FIU so early on in this preview series, traditionally we kind of save some of the teams that have the bigger quarterback battles for later on in fall camp when there may, you know, maybe some answers. Willie Simmons very early on committed to J.J. Cole, brought him to Media Day even, which I think is very, you know, unusual, I think, when you're bringing in a transfer quarterback to have that much commitment to him, that much trust in him to come in and be a spokesperson for the program in an event like that. But what have you seen from JJ so far just since he's been with the program and how he's been able to develop as a leader in year one at FIU?
Yeah, I think y'all saw it immediately. He's a huge guy. He's probably one of the tallest quarterbacks that FIU's had in program history. I'd have to look back, but that's certainly a plus. It makes it a little bit, you go from a smaller guy in Kiwan to probably as tall as you could get with JJ. And yeah, he committed to him right away. It was him, and they brought in Delaware transfer Zach Marker, who had won the Delaware job last season, a quarterback, but suffered an injury. He was out for the spring, so he should at least be able to push JJ a little bit in the fall. But JJ just commands the offense in a very different way from Kiwon, and it's not nothing on Kiwon, just JJ is a little more pass heavy. He's going to use his legs, and they think he's a sneaky fast quarterback that could make some stuff happen there. And I think he has a better arm than what we've seen in years past from other quarterbacks here at FIU, and I think that's a plus. And you know, Willie said it, they don't have Keyshawn Owens anymore. They can't just pass the ball off to Keyshawn and him let him do whatever he can. So now you're going to have to find multiple guys not in the running back room to kind of replicate that, but as well rely on the pass game. And that's where they go with JJ, who has experience starting at App State, very little experience at Iowa State. And he now comes to FIU, where I think the adjustment so far has been good. And FIU starts up back on Friday. And I think this is the period where you're really going to see JJ and the offense take off and start to see those adjustments. Last year, FIU's offense got off to quite a slow start, primarily because they were trying to be a more pass attack offense. But, you know, when you have a guy like KJ, it was a little bit easier to make that adjustment. That's not the case this year. They're going to have to rely on JJ Cole quite a bit.
Beyond the quarterback position, who are some other returning players on either side of the ball that you see as having some breakout seasons, all conference worthy seasons in 2026?
Yeah, I'm excited about Anthony Carey. He's a guy who got quite a bit of run last season, and you know, he probably could have gotten a little more if KJ didn't have the season he did. But Carey's going to be this team's starting running back. I think there's no other way to put it. They're going to, you know, hand the ball off to Sterling Joseph and as well as Devontae Lyons. But I think Carey will be the guy who gets the majority of those reps. In the wide receiver room, I'm excited to see what Kyle McNeil, you know, brings to the table in 2026. He had the first touchdown in the bowl game, and he, you know, he's a guy who finally got a full year under his belt as a wide receiver. He had played a full season in college football, but he had no receptions, no yards, no touchdowns. It was primarily a special teams guy. So McNeil now gets the opportunity to you know, be that wide receiver one or two, whatever it ends up being. He was the wide receiver two last year because he had Alex Perry kind of step up and turn into that top wideout. They bring in Rhode Island transfer Greg Gaines, who seems to be the wide receiver one, but Kyle McNeil could end up being that guy if he really has a strong camp. And on defense, I mean, they're able to get Kenton Simmons back from the, you know, withdrawn from the transfer portal and come back. And I'm really excited about him. Shamir Sterling too. Very quietly, Demetrius Hill had a really nice camp, had a really nice spring, and kind of slots himself as the favorite right now to start alongside with Shamir as in that safety spot. So I'm excited about some of those guys. And I know Willie, you know, was very adamant about keeping those guys around because not only just the leadership aspect of it, but the experience too. And they're going to need them. They're really going to need them, you know, to lead the defense and on the other side of the offense.
I know portal additions, a big emphasis for Willie Simmons just in his early tenure there at FIU. You brought up Greg Gaines, the wide receiver position. Any other new faces in the program that you think are ones to watch for the upcoming season?
Yeah, and just diving more on Gaines, that was a huge addition pretty late in the portal, but they got him. And it was a 1,000-yard FCS receiver, something that's, you know, you really don't find a lot in the portal. And the fact that they are able to do it is impressive and bring him along. And you know, on top of that, you bring in James Restar. He's a JUCO transfer. They're really high on him. They think the speed could really transfer, you know, on the field and could be a factor for them. He plays tight end, but they think he could play on the outside as well. On top of that, I'm really excited about this secondary. Lawrence Johnson, the Florida Atlantic transfer, he seems to be a guy that they really like and could potentially start for FIU. And he's going to have a chance to play his former team in Boca Raton soon. DeAndre Boykins, another transfer. I'm excited about that. A guy who comes with a lot of experience, dealt with some injuries last season at Oklahoma State, but before that was at UNC. He's really good. And then finally, Duke transfer, Devontae Floyd, who was primarily a special teams guy, but I think they're high enough on him to where they have put him at corner, and he's really thrived in that spot so far. So FIU really having to load up on the secondary after losing quite a bit of pieces there, and I think they've done a good job so far. Just going more for experience rather than, you know, relying on freshmen like they may have done a little bit more of last season.
As you're kind of checking the boxes for a team like FIU, we mentioned the quarterback position. We mentioned, you know, yes, there's a lot of core returners coming back at some key positions. Not to get too pessimistic, but where do you see some of the bigger question marks as they get into camp here in the coming weeks?
I think it starts at the defensive line, especially the interiors. You lose Big Sue, You lose Keegan Davis on the edge. You're going to have to add now Dante Anderson, who had a really nice four-game stretch for FIU towards the end of the season. He's going to jump into that spot right now. You have another spot open in the interior. So both spots in the interior are open for you know, competition there. Jermaine Carter is the returner of that group, but he had a solid season. He had forced fumble, recovered it at the Middle Tennessee game. And then the other edge is pretty much set. It's Kenton Simmons. That guy is really good. He led the team in sacks last year. So that spot is, you know, out of those four, three of the spots are unfilled. So FIU's going to see what they want. They loaded up on defensive linemen. They added Nathan Jennings, RJ Moss. They're bringing in, you know, returners at that position as well. I think the secondary is the other big position of need. You lose Brian Blades. You lose Mr. Clark. Josiah McGrew at the safety spot is now off to Arizona State. So FIU lost some pieces, but they added experience. So I'm curious to see what that battle ends up looking like. And the other minor concern, I think, is just how do you handle reps within a running back room that has experience somewhat, but really didn't get that last year because of who was the top guy, and rightfully so. So that's the one quote-unquote question. And then the wide receiver room is always, you know, question year in and year out. Just never know who's going to be the guy that steps up. It wasn't Alex Perry until midway through the season. So I think with JJ, things will change. I think it'll be a little bit different. And just the mindset knowing that, hey, we're not going to be able to rely on one guy. We're going to have to rely on multiple guys to make up for that offensive production left behind by Perry and Owens.
For sure. When you look at the schedule for FIU this season, what games immediately jump out to you as some defining moments, and what matchup do you think is really going to be one where it'll be the litmus test for whether or not FIU is, you know, has kind of another gear for this year?
I'm looking forward to that first conference road game in Jacksonville State. I mean, you're going up against one of the best teams in the conference, made the championship game last year. FIU played really close with them here at FIU last season, and they ended up winning, which got them through the bowl game. So I'm looking forward to that game on the road, prime time. You'll take that any day of the week, weekday CUSA. So that should be very exciting. And then the Liberty game on Halloween. So that's another exciting one. I'm sure that will be a great atmosphere as well at Halloween for Liberty. We'll see how that goes. And unless you look at the non-con, FIU's at a very good spot. Five straight games in the state of Florida to begin the season. So not a lot of traveling. Actually, no plane travel at all. They go to Tampa to face USF. They come back for Buffalo, then Boca Raton for the Shula Bowl, hoping in a different spot that they haven't been in a long time, defending the trophy, trying to keep the trophy instead of trying to bring it back to FIU. So that's different for them. And then finally, Buffalo, New Mexico State. So I think the litmus test is easily that Jacksonville State game right out of gate after facing New Mexico State at home. You have to go on the road and face a team that plays very well at home on top of that too.
If everything clicks this year, you know, everything we talked about, all the question marks answered, you know, JJ Cole pans out to be, you know, one of the top QBs in CUSA, what do you think is a realistic ceiling for FIU in 2026?
I think you're looking at a team that could potentially win 9-10 games and really be in the conversation for the Conference USA Championship. I think coaching was a big problem in the past for FIU, and they've really solved that. They've brought in guys who, you know, I think connect well with the players and quickly make good game plans, and the decision-making is great. I think Willie's done a phenomenal job since he's gotten here to FIU, and I'm really excited to see what he does, you know, with a guy that he brought in too. I know he wanted to keep Kiwan, but you bring in a guy like JJ, this is his first true transfer portal class, you know, having a full offseason under his belt, not having to come in right out of the gate and make things happen. He gets this first full true freshman class, first true transfer portal class. And I think this FIU team, with the pieces that they've brought back plus the experience that they brought in through the transfer portal, could really be in the competition for Conference USA. And I think we all know this. Conference USA is always very wide open. You never know what can happen in this conference. And that makes it exciting. And FIU was not supposed to win a lot of the games down the road against Jacksonville State, Liberty. They got a chance to do that, and they did it. So you go 4-0, you made a bowl game. I'm sure they're riding high off of that, and they probably had a little bit of a sour taste left in their mouth walking off that field against UTSA in the bowl game, and they probably want to make up for that too, and you know, hopefully make a conference championship. First year was to establish a culture. Year two is now the expectation to make the bowl game and try to do a little more than that.
Yep, for sure. And yeah, you mentioned how important coaching is. I mean, obviously we saw it with a team like FIU having to win four straight games to make a bowl game at the end of the year. You see a team like Kennesaw State year one under Jerry Mack winning the most one possession games in the country. So yeah, that edge that's provided by having a good coach on the sidelines, we are definitely very fortunate to have a lot of great ones on the sidelines of all of our institutions. But finally, what is one storyline surrounding FIU that maybe the media isn't quite talking about enough as we get closer to kicking off the season?
Honestly, I would look at these young guys on this FIU team. FIU's been a team that will play freshmen if they have to. They've got some guys that are really good. I would look at wide receiver Barrett Scholes. I don't know if a lot of people know this. In the FIU hosts, for the last 2 years, they've hosted the high school championship games here, or the state championship games here, and at Pitbull Stadium. And, you know, Barrett Scholes was an FIU commit, and he won the game for his high school, Lake Mary, on a Hail Mary. He caught the Hail Mary and just laddered it over to the side, and there was a touchdown. He's 6'5". You got to use that size somehow this season if it's a 50-50 balls or in the red zone. They've got this guy called Jaden Ford. They call him Mook. I don't know why they call him Mook. I can't wait to find out. But he's a small guy who's really fast, and they want to use him in the return game. We saw last year Josiah McGrew, the season he had. He was just a freshman. FIU was not scared to play freshmen if they're the right guy for the job. Josiah McGrew beat out a lot of veterans to get that starting safety role. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some guys really step up. Kajarius Hayes at the safety spot. Eric Johnson, another safety, freshman safety. That's one storyline I'm looking forward to see. Who becomes that next Josiah McGrew at FIU that really makes a name for themselves and could be in contention for, you know, conference freshman of the year?
All right. Youth movement down in Miami. Love to hear it. But Kevin, that'll do it for us today. Thank you so much for joining the podcast again. We're super, every time I do another one of these and we get one day closer to the beginning of the season, it's just a ton of excitement. I'm sure it's the same for you down there.
Yeah, I'm itching for it. I'm itching for college football to get back, and I always appreciate you guys having me on.
Awesome. Well, Kevin Verrall, one of the hosts of the Pause Up podcast, joining us again on our CUSA football preview series to cover FIU. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Kevin Verrall for joining the CUSA Insider podcast to help preview the FIU Panthers for the 2026 season. Next up, we've got a fantastic interview that Sarah Rudolph conducted at CUSA football kickoff with head coach Willie Simmons, quarterback J.J. Cole, and defensive back Shamir Sterling. Enjoy that interview now.
All right, Conference CUSA fans, welcome back into another very special episode here of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We are here at Texas Live for the 2026 CUSA football kickoff, getting ready for a great 2026 season. And I have joining me here from the FIU Panther program, head coach Willie Simmons. I've got QB J.J. Cole here over there on the end, and defensive back Shamir Sterling, all joining us here from the 305, as their beautiful pins say. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, Coach, let me start with you. Your first year at FIU was a great one, 7-5 overall, 5-3 in conference play. A lot of huge games that you guys were able to go out and win this past year, beating FAU for the first time in several years, going to a bowl game, first one since 2019. A lot of great things going on in this Panther program, trending upward for sure. But how do you capitalize on the past year and keep one-upping yourself as you go along?
Well, for us, it's simple. I mean, it's just holding true to our core values and what our standards are. Every year is a new challenge. Every year is a new team. And so we have to, you know, find our own footing, establish leadership, and understand what it takes to be a champion. And that's something that these guys are committed to every day. And I'm glad to have leaders like JJ and Shamir and other guys that come to work every day and really try to, you know, enforce the culture that we're trying to establish down in Miami.
And you talk about your core values, the culture. If you could put that into words for me, what are the core values and culture down there at that program?
Well, for us, it's about our 7 F's, something that we've, you know, been doing for a long time. And that's simply faith, you know, fundamentals, being fast, you know, being able to fight through adversity, finishing everything we start, having a lot of fun doing it, and doing it as a family. You know, so that's those are our pillars. And, every day we try to emphasize them. And these guys, you know, have really embodied that. And that's why we've had the success we've had, you know, in a short period of time.
So I'm curious to hear from your players. Do you have a one of the 7 F's that you really get behind? Or is it really a all or nothing mentality when you talk about those seven things?
You know, for me, it's all or nothing. I mean, because they are equally important, each one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what you said.
Okay. JJ, I heard from a little birdie something very interesting that I want to ask you about. So in between when you were at Iowa and App State, I heard that FIU attempted to get you to come to the program, but now you're here. Mm-hmm. What happened then versus what happened now and you're down here with this Miami program?
Yeah, that it's true. It did happen. I'm thankful to be where I'm at now. You know, going in the portal, there's no real like outline of what you're looking for. It's different than when you're getting recruited out of high school. So I was a little naive a little bit to what was out there. And I wish I would have went to FIU out of Iowa State. But I'm thankful that I'm here now. And I'm, you know, one step at a time and just trying to move forward. But very thankful for the opportunity to be at FIU Panther.
Of course. And now that you are here fully ingrained in the program, tell me about what your goals are for this season personally and then maybe for the offense in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, my job, I'm the conductor. I'm I'm the one that's steering the ship. So for me, my goals are just really as a team, like as an offense, like to be dangerous, to be dynamic, to be able to, whether we got to run the ball, or we got to throw the ball, to just to get the guys all moving towards the same goal, same thing, you know, whether it be running the ball, having to run the ball every down, you know, being able to encourage the receivers, all right, we need you to block here, or if we need to throw the ball a lot, like talking to running backs, like, hey, we need you in protection here, just trying to whatever it takes, run, throw, whatever it may be to win a game, just get everyone on the same page and motivate everyone to get the ball moving forward.
Coach, I would love to hear from you what brought these two gentlemen next to you here to Media Days. It is such a privilege to get to come and talk about your program on this stage. What is it about these two that made you say, yeah, these are the ones that are coming with me this year?
I really just want everyone to see how tall JJ really is.
He is very tall. I will say he is much taller than I thought he was going to be.
No, just joking. But no, just, you know, obviously, whenever you have a chance to represent the program, the university, the institution, you know, you look for guys that embody everything that the program stands for. And these two guys are that, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. Great leaders, you know, faith is the first word in our program. You know, these two guys lead our FCA, you know, all of our team devotions. I mean, they're right at the forefront. So again, just doing it from the most basic fundamental aspects of leadership. That's what these guys are about. You know, obviously they're great football players, you know, so obviously you want to put them on a platform, you know, but just the intangibles, just the things off the field. You know, Shamir, again, I don't know how they track it. I'm sure they do at some point, but if there's a student athlete in America that does more community service than Shamir, you know, I like to lead it, you know? And so just on the field, off the field, in the classroom, you know, two guys that are going to graduate on time or ahead of time with phenomenal degrees, extremely bright futures. So again, what two guys better to represent FIU and everything this university stands for than these two gentlemen?
Shamir, I was going to ask you about this a little bit later, but since Coach alluded to it, obviously you do a lot in the community. You were a member of the All-State AFCA Good Works team this past year, Werfel Award Watch List, which is a community service award nationally for college football. You're also on the Commissioner's Honor Roll for Conference USA. Tell me a bit about what all of that stuff off the field means to you and how it supports what you do on the field.
For me, my parents always taught me growing up, was football is not my identity. So for me, going out, that's my identity. Going out in the community, serving the people, getting good grades, things of that sort. That's where I put my identity here, and also put my identity in Christ, because he the one that gave me this talent. He the one that gave me this mind. He gave me the love in which I shared to others.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love to hear that you guys are doing so much good stuff in the community. I know that the 305, it's huge, but it's a tight-knit spot down there, and you guys love it so much. Well, we talk about the 305. Everybody always wants to know, what are we doing for Miami Vice Night this year? What are we? Can we get some sneak peeks, maybe some spoilers for what's going on? Tell me a little bit about how excited you guys are about that game.
Well, no, obviously, Vice is something that we all look forward to. You know, our marketing department, you know, they really get behind it, and they're really behind the design. And so, you know, every year we obviously gonna, you know, design a new uniform that has the Vice colors. The players really don't see what the uniform is until the week of, so it's gonna be a sneak preview for them as well. You know, the last few years have been a huge success, and I think they'll be pleased with what we're able to do this season. I think America will really like
the new uniforms and, of course, you know, with college football, the game out, you know, being able to pick all the different Vice uniforms really brings a lot of the style to FIU. But being in the 305, that's what it's about. You know, Miami's a different place. It's a unique place, kind of its own world. And, you know, we try to bring that out for the world to see as much as we possibly can.
I can tell you that at the conference office, we sit there waiting for you guys to drop that awesome video revealing the uniforms with the boats and the Lamborghinis and whatever it is that you guys bring on. So we're super excited about it as well. I do want to ask, you know, you mentioned that the really Vice Night gets the FIU name out there. You guys go viral on social media every single year. But another great thing I think that is helping really nationally recognize some of these Conference USA programs is the weekday CUSA games during the month of October. So tell me a little bit about kind of what you guys think about the chance to play in front of a national audience. Obviously, JJ, you've never gotten to do this weekday CUSA thing yet. What are you guys looking forward to this year?
I have mixed feelings about the week.
I know it's tough. Yeah. I know it's tough.
I have very much mixed feelings. He's a nerd, so don't want to miss class.
So, no, I love the opportunity, though, being able to be that primetime game and being able to have all the eyes on us. I love it because it's everybody can watch. They don't need to have ESPN Plus or specific ESPN in order to watch us. Everybody can, so I love the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm also excited just for something new. This year we actually play on my birthday. We found my birthday on Tuesday, so it's a little different, but no, I'm excited. I think it's something new, something to get used to, but I think it's cool, just a natural spotlight for, you know, everyone to tune in and watch.
And we played the day before my birthday, which is on a Wednesday, so, okay. You know, again, we don't really get to celebrate birthdays during football season, so we'll try to do something special, but no, just the amount of eyes that are on us, and it was amazing. Last year was obviously the first time that I experienced it. But after the Western Kentucky game, I mean, the amount of texts I got from coaches and you know, colleagues and, you know, just supporters, well, it was unbelievable. You know, we won a lot of games over our career, but never the amount of congratulations and great game and love what you guys do. I really think a lot of people saw FIU in a different light, you know, because it's the weekday USA game. So we're excited about it. You know, obviously we have three this year and, you know, we'll continue to talk to the guys about doing the right things academically and being able to go to class the next day. We get back, you know, getting back early in the morning. But no, I think the guys really get up for it. And it's something that's really put this conference on a platform that's really helped us really increase our brand exposure.
Well, you mentioned that FIU-WKU game. Great game for you guys going out there and beating a conference opponent that a lot of people thought would make it to the end of the season in the CUSA championship. Doing this podcast last year, there were several times that we thought CUSA championships going to Miami, and didn't quite work out for you guys last year. But what needs to happen this year in order for you guys to make it to December?
Well, for us, it's just about playing good football. You know, as we assess last season, the things that we did well, we want to continue to capitalize on those. And then the things that we needed to improve upon. You know, this is a very competitive conference. Obviously, I think that's one of the things that makes Conference USA what it is every week you're going to have marquee matchups. Games are decided by the slim margins. And so the margin for error is not very wide. And so when we looked at ourselves last year, the games that we didn't beat ourselves, we won. And the games that we beat ourselves, we lost. And so for us, it's just about going out every week and giving ourselves the best chance to be successful. And that's not turning the ball over. That's not giving up explosive on defense for touchdowns. That's being sound and fundamentally in special teams. And if we do those things, I feel like we'll give ourselves a chance in every ball game. And that's really what you want as a coach, to go into every game knowing if we just play good football, we have a chance to win.
Absolutely. All right. Some fun questions now. Are y'all ready?
Okay.
So, JJ, I'm going to start with you because I didn't know this about you before, but I heard that your dad runs some of the most premier camps the most premier camps in the country for specialists, punters, kickers, long snappers. How on earth did you end up as a quarterback?
Yeah, kind of crazy. I can still kick and punt to this day.
I did throw high school.
Way out of secrets, JJ. Jesus.
No. No, part of the problem is I have too big of feet to be a kicker. So
you have to have small feet to be a kicker?
To be a kicker, you want smaller feet. To be a punter, you can have as big of feet as you want.
Okay.
So I can still punt. Kicking, I struggle with a little bit. But, no, I felt like I was gifted, you know, ever since I was a little boy, just throwing a football. I feel like that's something I've always loved doing and something I want to do as long as I can. So I felt like that's where I've been the most gifted, and that's where, you know, I want to see where this quarterback thing can take me.
Awesome. All right, Shamir, you seem like a very – I'm not gonna say serious, stoic maybe guy. Oh, there you go. I cracked a smile. But tell me who you think the funniest guy in the FIU locker room is.
Oh, that's easy. He's in my position group. His name, the name Ormond Wallace.
Okay.
We call him Big Dog O.
I'm gonna say every funny guy has a nickname. I was waiting for it.
There you go. Yeah, nah, he's hilarious. Like 24/7. I mean, dog, he even Coach Willie and him go back and forth cracking jokes all the time. So yeah, definitely funniest.
Okay, so wait, you go back and forth cracking jokes of him?
Hey, just decides to come see. Yeah. Came back down. You know, one of those deals, got to come back at him. But no, the guys have fun. We have a very lighthearted football team. It's a team full of guys from South Florida, Atlanta, you know, major cities, and a lot of personality. So we keep things pretty exciting down in the 305.
Keep things a little light down there. Okay. And then I was doing a little research on you, Coach. I saw that you have 6 kids, right? Wide range of age too, 26 to 6, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just had my 3rd child and I am like barely swimming with my head above the water. How on earth do you do it with 6 kids?
Well, it helps because they kind of take care of each other. I think that's the secret. The secret is to kind of spread them out to where they're far enough apart where they have their own identity, but they're close enough to where they can play with one another.
Okay.
So, you know, and when wife and I get tired, we just kind of put the 3 little ones in the room together. And they kind of handle themselves. So the older ones are all out of high school now, and one of them's out of college, 2 of them out of college. And so they're self-sufficient. You know, my 19-year-old is a rising sophomore in college, doing amazing things. So they're great kids. They're this generation. So it really helps me be a better coach because I get to see every day how this generation operates with devices and their attention spans. And so I'm able to kind of do the parallels so I can take some coaching stuff home to help them hopefully be better. I can bring some parenting stuff to the office to help the guys. So it's been good. It's been good to have a little small army. So 6 kids,
small army.
3 dogs and 105 big kids.
There you go. I love it. I love it. I saw a really cool announcement over the weekend that I want to highlight. So you guys promoted Katie Fletcher to the GM position there for the FIU program, the first female in that position in CFB history. Tell me a little bit about like how that is a testament to FIU as a whole and your program, and tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, it's more of a testament to Katie, you know, who she is, what she stands for. When I took the job, obviously, there were a lot of people that I had to talk with that were previously here, you know, on the previous staff. And she was one of those individuals. And just, you know, just to see her spirit, you know, what she's about, what she represents, you know, she was really like the team mom. And so I got more information about the players from her than anyone else, just how intimate she was with them, knowing their personal lives, whether they had girlfriends, you know, what were their struggles. And so I was really able to get a good feel for who the team was through her. She was the director of player development at the time. I promoted her to director of recruiting, you know, when I got hired and did a phenomenal job helping us ensure the #1 class in Conference USA. And then once my director of operations position came open, I promoted her to director of football operations. And so just managing the budget, travel, kind of the program as a whole, and just seeing her really just dive headfirst into the job. I've never really seen someone who's so adamant about just excelling at the job they're given, not asking for more, but just whatever job she was given doing that. And we start talking more about her career path and what she was looking to do. She applied for law school. She's like, you know, I really want to try to get on the agent side of just being able to deal with agents and talk to them. And then our general manager position came open. I was like, well, I mean, I can no way I can do a bunch of people and try to find someone who I can, you know, promote someone from within who already has dealt with agents because during that transition, she really did a lot of contracts. The players were all going to her, talking about their contracts. And so I was like, well, you know what? She's qualified. You know, she's going to work extremely hard at it. You know, obviously there'll be some growing pains and learning curve, but that's with anything. And so very honored to be able to bestow that responsibility upon her to be able to make history. But again, phenomenal individual, just amazing woman and really someone that continues to uplift again, FIU and FIU football and I'm honored to be able to you know, take this journey with her.
Awesome. Well, Katie, I don't know if you're here. I can't see you. But testament to you, I'll be calling National Girls and Women's in Sports Day. I see you. We're going to do a feature. It'll be great. All right. Final question before I let you guys go. I ask it to anyone who ever talks to me on the podcast because it's a fun one. If I'm going down to Miami for a football game, where do I need to eat? What do I need to get? I know you're new, but I know you've eaten some food down there. So give me one restaurant and one thing that needs to be on my plate. He's having a tough time over there.
Willis Amigo Lass, he's from there. So Jesse, you go first.
Rusty Pelican, that's the place I've gone. That's where after the spring game went there. It's a great place, right on the water, great views. You get to see the whole skyline, everything. So great food as well.
All right.
I'll say Joya Beach. Joya Beach is a man-made beach down in Miami. Again, like JJ, you get to overlook the water, see all the yachts and boats passing by. Great venue, just scenery. It's outside. So again, if it's Miami, you can go there in your bathing suit to eat and then go full swim. But again, great food, amazing. We take the recruits there as well as the Rusty Pelican. But that would be my go-to if I wanted to really wow someone. I'd say Joya Beach.
Okay.
For me, I have a family tradition. After every single game, we go to BJ's.
Okay.
Right down the street. So for me, that has a special place in my heart, of course, because that's my go-to spot after the game.
What do you get?
Wings, always.
Obviously.
Well, got to.
Of course. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me here on this special episode of CUSA Insider. Good luck to the Panthers the rest of the way. Hopefully we will be seeing you guys in the CUSA championship spot at the end of the season. Based on what you guys accomplished last year, I know you guys absolutely can do it. Looking forward to watching the Panthers on TV this year.
Thank you. Pause up.
Thank you. Pause up.
Thanks so much to everyone from FIU for joining the CUSA Insider Pod to help preview the FIU Panthers for the 2026 season. So excited that we are just a little bit closer to kicking off the season. Next up on the podcast preview series, we've got Sam Houston. Tuesday, August 11th, we'll be joined by Colton Foster with the Huntsville Item, as well as Sarah's interview with the guys from CUSA Football Kickoff. You can check out the full schedule here on the screen for when your team is coming up on the CUSA Insider Pod preview series. Super excited to we get to do this every year to get everyone just absolutely amped for football season. But that'll do it for this episode today. Thank you for joining another episode of CUSA Insider Pod. As always, you can follow us on social, on X and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod to stay up to date with all the most recent episodes. And for all you audio listeners out there, you can find our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music. And you can find our video episodes on YouTube. Go to at Conference USA on YouTube. You'll see our CUSA Insider Pod playlist there, where you can see our beautiful faces all the time, giving some great content for you guys. But again, that'll do it for us here on the CUSA Insider Pod, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, signing off.